Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
I thought the whole game was well managed, dealing with a tight game as it was, and being patient and believing, you know, that we could get control of a game of this nature is important for the psychology of the group right now. And I just like the way we managed the whole game today. It was definitely our best performance of the season, start to finish. And the third period showed a lot of maturity and learning out of the last couple of games. Puck management was very mature and extremely aggressive still defensively at the same time. So we were just really pleased with that. We're going to continue to try and grow tomorrow.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Ralph Krueger, head coach of the Sabres. They are 5-0-1. A little bit of a drawback to having a good hockey team, Sal, is that it makes me want to stay up late and watch them now, which I might have done anyway. I probably would have done. Jeremy White, Sal Capaccio, with you here on WGR. Taking your phone calls on the state of the NFL. We spent our first segment, 6 o'clock. You can, by the way, go to the radio.com app and rewind to the 6 o'clock hour if you update it. It's the new feature on the app. So if you miss something, you rewind up to 24 hours with radio.com rewind. You download the app, select our station, and basically go back in time. It saves you a bunch of steps if you want to go back and listen to hour number one or whatever. The on-demand audio stuff is still all available, but now you can just go back and rewind and listen at 1.5 speed and catch up on your own schedule. So check that out. But our first segment, we talked a lot about the Rams and what the Rams are doing by going out and getting Jalen Ramsey. And Baltimore trades for Marcus Peters, and the Browns are looking for help. And the Patriots have been linked to every receiver that is potentially available.
But they're getting N'Keal Harry back. He's coming off IR.
Which is good for them.
Yep.
But so you don't know what to think of them. We talked about this Bills offense and how we don't what I teased going to the break was we don't really know what this offense is in its full form because we've never seen Tyler Kroft. We saw a very little bit of Devin Singletary, right? Singletary missed a couple games, and then we had the bye week. So in its best day, in its most fully formed offense that it can be, does it have enough weapons is ultimately the question. Should they be looking to add at receiver? Should they look to add at offensive line to help with their depth? But I want to get back to Singletary because in your opinion, how much of a boost will he give them once healthy? You know, we watched this team move on from LeSean McCoy and have Devin Singletary average 10 yards a carry on his first day and was a big spark to bring them back.
He's still averaging 12, I think. He's had 10 carries for 120-something yards.
Right. So against maybe you sit him against Miami to give one more week of healing that hamstring or whatever. Maybe he plays. I would imagine everybody does well this week against the Dolphins. But going forward, how big of a weapon, how much of a difference do you think Singletary makes in the backfield versus a Frank Gore or a T.J. Yeldon, who are both, you know, serviceable veterans?
I think he makes a big difference, but I don't think it's about who's going to be more productive, Singletary or Gore. I'm going to go back to what I said about Duke Williams. They're different players, obviously, with different roles. But I think what Singletary does, Jeremy, is he forces defenses to have to respect different things about the Bills. The only way the Bills were really able to get on the edge without Devin Singletary in the backfield was to manufacture wide receiver jet sweeps, tight end arounds, things like that. They had to be creative in ways to do that. You put Devin Singletary back there, suddenly 53 and a third yards opens up to you. That's the width of the field. You can do things horizontally now that you weren't able to do. And sure, you can hand the ball to Frank Gore on the edge, and he can bust one once in a while maybe. But he is really more of a tackle-to-tackle guy. We know that. That's where he does his best work. That's his strength. So when he's on the field, you'd rather use him in that role. When Devin Singletary's on the field, now you can run that outside zone that he was really successful at through the first 2 weeks. The Bills are an athletic line. They get out in front of things. They get to the second level. They block well. He is a great, they are, the offensive line is a great complement to his skill set, and he is a great complement to what they can do, and I think that's the difference. You put Devin Singletary on the field, suddenly the defense has to defend more of the whole field, if that makes sense, from sideline to sideline.
And with Singletary, are we thinking this week is possible?
I think this week, it has to be, right? I mean, 2 weeks ago, Sean McDermott said he was close to playing. That was the New England game. Then he didn't play. He didn't play at Tennessee. Now, let's remember, there was a wet field to start with. It didn't turn out wet for the game. They have a bye week the following week. I think a lot of that played into it. They might have probably said, just hold him back for one more week.
Which I like.
Because then we get 2 weeks out of it.
Yep.
So really, he's been out here. His last game was September 15th. It is today, October 16th. It will be more than a month since the hamstring injury happened. I think at this point, we're probably looking at him trending towards playing, but I'll be honest, I said that a couple weeks ago and even last week, and he didn't play. So anything's possible here, but at this point, it looks like he's had the rest, it appears, that they wanted him to get before putting him back on the field.
803-0550. Got a tweet from Crystal who wrote in about this and about the trade idea. They just promoted Duke. Singletary's been out since week two. Maybe they should see how the offense fires on all cylinders before deciding what they might need.
That's what I wrote about the other day. I totally agree with that. Don't rush into doing anything you don't have to do. See what the offense looks like. Now, is against Miami a great gauge? Maybe not. I mean, this is a team that other teams have been basically just blowing out, with the exception of Washington last week. So maybe it's not the greatest gauge. But against the Eagles, it is, and you don't have to make a deal until two days after that Eagles game. That's when the trade deadline is. You get 2 weeks to evaluate your offense and think and see where you are and what you can do and what you need.
Twitter poll is, should the Bills be approaching the trade deadline in any sort of go-for-it mode? You can vote yes, all in, YOLO, add without trading a first, or nah, stay the course. Add without trading a first is leading the way. All in is in second place with 24%. But the numbers bear out to be 83% are saying, go ahead and add something. If not a first-round pick-worthy target, but add something. And to me, you know, we talk about windows and win now versus rebuild. Sometimes you find yourself in a spot where you're ahead of where you thought you'd be, and I don't know that that's where the Bills are right now. But if we go back 2 years ago, they're, what, 5-2 when they make the Kelvin Benjamin trade?
Yes.
And that was a little bit of, they had to be a little bit surprised to be 5-2, right? I mean, you take it one game at a time, yada, yada. They were starting a rebuild, clearing the cap. Hey, we're 5-2. You know what? Let's try and end this drought. And they make a trade for Kelvin Benjamin, and he's not like exactly the reason the drought ended. But the point is, they saw an opportunity to say, let's just try go ahead and be that little bit better this year and maybe have a guy for the future. Right now, this team is much more in a spot to do exactly that move than they were 2 years ago.
Yeah.
This year is more likely that they make the playoffs. It seems to me to be a more sustainable mode for winning because of their defense. The window is just opening for all of this potential, and you have the cap space.
Well,
so if you were to trade for a AJ Green, you could pay for him. You could make it work, whereas before they're trying to clean the cap. So, you know, should they add? My answer is yes, and I think that they will because it all lines up to be a friendly scenario to add somebody to the offense that they can pay if they need to.
The only thing I'll say, though, about a counter to that, Jeremy, is 2 years ago, they had far more. Now, they have good draft capital coming up.
They had more capital.
But they had two number one picks the following year, right? So giving up a third for Benjamin was not, like, it didn't really hurt you and set you back. You give up a third or a second here, you know, you only have one pick in each of the four rounds the next couple of years. Then they had two ones. I think they had two threes. They gave up one of those threes, I think, at the time, if I remember right, because they had made the Tyrod deal. No, the Tyrod deal was the following year. They recouped that three, actually, I think, now if I remember right. I'm trying to think how that went. But either way, you get the point. Maybe it was a second rounder. They had more draft capital then, especially at the top. They had already accumulated. So that made it easier, I think, to absorb that particular. And then what was that trade about? And look, there was a lot of pressure, I think, on this organization to end the drought once they got to 5-2. Once they get to 5-2, it wasn't about where they are now and, oh, hey, we can make a run at this thing, right? It's, boy, we can literally end this 17-year thing and not have anyone talk about it anymore and do what we need to do without having that hanging over our heads. And I think that became, to me, more a driving force into trying to do that.
803-0550 to give us a call. What do you think? Is it a go-for-it kind of situation? The only reason I'm tempted to say yes is that historically it's been hard to keep defenses together for a long time, right? Seattle was top three in scoring defense for maybe 4 or 5 years, and that's rare. It's very hard to do, and eventually it falls apart, everybody goes their separate ways, and Russell Wilson carries that team a little differently than the defense used to carry that team. So if you were to say, you know, they're going to be able to keep this defense together and elite for 4 years, this would be one of them. You know, this would be one of the four. And if you're worried about giving up too much, what are they set to lose on their defense? Only Shaq?
Only Shaq right now and Lorenzo.
Okay.
If Lorenzo wants to play next year, I think they would probably be...
He certainly looks
okay,
up.
Okay, yeah, hey, you don't want to play? Okay.
He looks up to it.
Right, I mean, and we know what he means to them in the locker room, and we know he loves living in Buffalo and all that, so if that's the case, but he's kind of indicated this is probably his last year, but he's not... I don't think he's completely shut the door on that. But then you talk about Shaq Lawson, that's it. You could still sign Shaq to an extension. I don't think that's going to happen. He's probably, with the year he's having, there might be a team out there that sees him as an every down, number one type of defensive end for them. So I'm not sure. Boy, it is raining now. See, we saw that rain come, and here it comes. It's hitting Amherst.
It was predicted to pool in some low-lying spots.
But I tweeted about this and talked about this a couple weeks ago, which is they don't have to rush to worry about the defense and the guys under contract. They can bring guys in to push and say, oh, you want to get rewarded? Keep playing at your high level. And then I get a lot of people asking me about, what about the two safeties? Got to resign them. Whoa, 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 hold on. Jordan Poyer still has next year on his contract. Yeah, if they want to do it after this year, he's a really good player. They might want to do that. They could also kind of take it into his contract year, see where it goes, and see how other guys in the back end are playing. They just drafted Jaquan Johnson. Saran Neal has done a nice job. And see where that goes. Micah Hyde, there's no reason to extend him right now. You have him for 2 more years after this. He signed a 5-year deal. He's in year number 3. There's no reason to do that. And then the other guys on the defensive side, you are not allowed. Here's the NFL rule, in case anybody didn't know. You are not allowed to sign a contract extension until 3 years into your rookie deal. So, Tre'Davious White, this is his 3rd year.
Okay.
Still, no need to do that. Why? Tre'Davious White's a first-round pick. You have a fifth-year option on him. That means he's still under contract next year, and you can pick up the fifth-year option. You still have 2 more years on him. Who else are we talking about? I think Matt Milano's the big one to think about here. Milano is going to be he has 1 year left in his deal after this year. He can sign an extension after this year, according to NFL rules. I think that's the one you start to look at and say, do we want to lock him up, or do we want him to go into his contract year next year with, you know, possible free agency? He's been a very good player for them. Otherwise, you're right. Who do they have? Nobody really worry about. They're going to be together for a while. Yeah. This is a younger defense, not a totally young defense, that is pretty much under contract for 2 to 3 years for the most part.
So with that, do you feel like there's less of a need to make it a buy now window? Because
a good point.
Everything lines up to be here for a while.
I think that...
Whereas with the Rams, that might not be the case. Maybe that's why the Rams are buying Jalen Ramsey, but they'll probably give him big money too, and he'll stay. But maybe they view it differently, that they're further along in their window.
Yeah, and that's a good point. I think the way they've built this organization, I don't think they view as... Because there's the window... Think of it this way. The window of opportunity for the Rams is probably closing, considering that they're going to have to start paying their quarterback. They just signed him. They don't have these first-round picks. They have other guys making big money. Isn't the window for the Bills opening, Jeremy? Isn't it kind of more on the open? You could say what you will about defense, and that's right. About generally, you can't. But everything I just said, and the fact they have a second-year quarterback still in a rookie deal, and Devin Singletary, and they signed John Brown to a multi-year contract. They signed Cole Beasley to a multi-year contract. They signed Mitch Morse to a multi-year contract. I think the Bills' window is opening, not closing, so there's no need to make a move like that right
unless
now,
it's long term.
Unless it's longer term.
Yeah. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Instant trivia time? I'm going to do a little
trivia.
It's going to be fun. I'm not going to have you name them all because there are too many. So instead, I want you both, John Simons here, and Sal, since Dan Marino, as many Dolphins quarterbacks to have started a game as you can get without getting one wrong. To have started a game for the Dolphins. This list is big.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's not, well, whatever. It's just worth getting all these names in. Because this week it'll be either Fitz or Josh Rosen. Do we know yet, by the way? I guess it'll...
Oh, it's going to be Rosen. It's going to be Rosen.
I mean, I know he named him the starter for the rest of the year, but he left the door open.
I think he already said. I got to go back and look. Okay. I think he already said he's going to be that guy.
21. Rosen and Fitz, you got. I'll give you those two. There are 19 Dolphins quarterbacks who have started a game since Dan Marino up to this year.
Cleo Lemon.
Correct. See how many you can get without getting one wrong.
I had to get him right off the board right away.
That's one.
Ryan Tannehill.
Two.
Dante Culpepper.
Three.
Ray Lucas.
Four.
Matt Moore.
Five.
Jay Cutler.
Six.
Chad Henne.
Seven.
Do I want to... David Fales? No. Who's the guy that... No. Who was the guy that came in? Hold on. Who am I missing here?
Well, you're thinking Pat White?
Hold on. How about Chad Pennington, right? Would have started, right? Chad Pennington.
I'm going to have to ask for official guesses here on all this.
Right? Chad Pennington started, right? He had to have.
That correct.
Yeah, okay, that Pennington. Sounds right.
That's correct.
Okay.
Was Pat White one?
Incorrect.
Oh.
Sal, you can go lone wolf here. Lone wolf for the rest, as many as you can get.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. We only got half of them.
That's a lot.
We only got half of them. You can still chime in, John, even though you got some wrong here.
I'll give you a bunch here. Brock Osweiler, Tyler Thigpen, John Beck.
Thigpen. Wait, John Beck, I should have got. The Bills made him look really bad.
Trent Green, Joey Harrington.
Oh, my gosh.
Gus Frerotte, Sage Rosenfels.
Oh, Sage.
A.J. Feely, Brian Greasy, Damon Heward with an appearance, and Jay Fiedler.
That is an amazing list.
That is a worse list than the Bills.
I think so.
What's worse? This is a reasonable question. What's worse in a scenario like this? A 3-year stretch where you play seven guys that are all not good, or a 3-year stretch where you play one guy that you kind of know isn't good? You know what I mean? The Tannehill got a lot of time in Miami. He was okay. Didn't work out. Now he's the starter for the Titans, replacing Marcus Mariota. You know, sometimes you'll see these lists and you'll get 6 names in 4 years, and I'll think, wow, you knew you were screwed. Whereas you start the wrong guy for 4 years. It's kind of, why'd you sign up for that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
At least in those terrible years where there's so many different quarterbacks, you know you're thinking about it. And you know you're trying to find somebody in that spot.
Let's. I said earlier, who's the number one pick right now? It's Cincinnati. Cincinnati would have the number one pick in the draft right now if the season ended. It doesn't. They probably won't wind up that way. They're 0-6. Miami's 0-5. Buffalo currently has number 26 overall. Going through, who's in the market maybe for a first-round quarterback? You ready? Let's go through the actual order of the draft right now. Bengals. If the draft was today, would they take a first-round quarterback? I think so.
Quite possibly,
I think they would. Miami?
Yes.
Washington?
No. Well, yes, maybe.
Well, they
maybe.
So they just took Dwayne Haskins last year, but as someone pointed out to me, well, look what Arizona did. And that's right. You do have to think about that. They will have a new coaching staff. Atlanta? No. The Jets? No. Jacksonville?
No. Gardner Minshew's actually good. It appears that he's good. Definitely good enough to not take a quarterback.
The Browns?
No.
Now, here's one. Miami again, because Pittsburgh would be in this spot, and I think Pittsburgh could be a candidate there.
Yeah.
This is why I don't like what they did with Minka Fitzpatrick, giving up a first-round pick. After they knew Ben was out. Giants? No. Chargers? The Chargers are picking 10th overall.
Quite possibly.
They might, right? How about 11 is the Titans?
Yes.
Yes. 12, Tampa?
Yes.
13, Denver?
Yes.
Arizona? No. Dallas? No. Rams? No. Well, actually, Jacksonville again. Detroit? No. Indy? No. 18, Indy. I don't think so. With Brissett, they like him, right?
Yeah, it's a tough one.
You got Oakland in here. Carolina's going to be a no. Philly, no. Okay, so then you're going on a list. Now you're getting to teams that will not do that. But, man, you just said yes to, like, 6 teams.
Yeah. Have you watched much of Kyler Murray?
A little bit.
He's impressive.
Very impressive. I think that his system helps him a lot.
For sure, for sure. And the system is impressive.
Yes.
Who knows if the league will catch up and shut that down, but for a start for Cliff Kingsbury, it's going pretty well.
Yep. I was definitely not in the camp that thought it would happen. I did not think that would be the case, but he's done a nice job. Let me look at his numbers here. He's thrown 7 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. His completion percentage is 64. Yards per attempt is under 7. But man, how many, you see the attempts he has a game?
Yeah.
Oh my God. He has had already 3 games of 40 or more attempts, and he has not had a game with less than 32 pass attempts. They're just slinging it.
They're slinging it.
Go
and
do
he
it.
Looks kind of good. He's fun. You should, if you haven't had a chance to catch an Arizona game, it's worth it. 803-0550. Sabres in action tonight. If you missed our conversation with Ralph Krueger, we'll bring you a couple of highlights on that, as we usually talk to him today. But they're out west and probably still sleeping. Sabres and Ducks tonight, 10 o'clock here on WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's important that you can win on the road, and I think it really speaks to the mental toughness of our football team, the leadership, again, of our football team. And then transitioning to playing at home, we've got, one of the most special fan bases in the NFL. It's unique to play here in Buffalo. As the story in the movie says it, the quote, if you build it, they will come. And we're trying to build something here. We're not done. But we've got some special people in our building, some special fans, and it's great to be able to play in front of them over the next 3 weeks.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott, the next 3 weeks at home, save your strength. Pace yourself. Jeremy White, Sal Capaccio here. We'll give you some headlines. The Sabres are in action tonight at 10 o'clock against Anaheim. We'll bring you a little bit of a snippet from our conversation with Ralph Krueger as we talk to him on Wednesday. So that's coming up in just a moment. The Yankees lost to the Astros. They're down 2-1. The Nationals are on to the World Series. 4-game sweep of the Cardinals.
Without Bryce Harper?
Without Bryce Harper. What does he do? Does he watch the series, or he's just go off the grid somewhere? Wish them.
He's counting his money somewhere, I guess. Right. Maybe that's why he's happy. I don't know. It never made sense to sign a guy to that kind of deal, and they're better off having that money and spending it elsewhere and not having to worry about that hampering them. So I don't know. I'm not familiar with their salary situation and how they did spend it, but they're a good team, and they didn't need to pay Bryce Harper that much money, and the Phillies are going to regret, I think, paying Bryce Harper, and they might already regret paying him that much money, to be honest with you. By the way, that clip from McDermott was from Good Morning Football. That's NFL Network. He was on this morning, so people started to take notice of the Bills. He was on a national show this morning, and they're back at it on Sunday against the Miami Dolphins at 1 o'clock.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 if you'd like to join us. We'll get back to our conversation on the Bills and some Sabres notes as well. We had a conversation with Ralph Krueger. You might have missed it. You can go find it on radio.com's app. Our new Radio Rewind feature could help this way if it were earlier in the show. Anyway, here's Ralph Krueger on our Wester Hotline as we started conversation about Rasmus Dahlin and how things have gotten a little different with his usage.
Buffalo Sabres head coach Ralph Krueger's appearance on WGR is being brought to you by Paul William Belt, your power of attorney, by Falls View Casino Resort, Niagara Falls, Canada, and by AXA Advisors. Take the next step toward your financial future today.
When it comes to learning every day, Ralph, I mean, you probably have a list of things you'd like the team to get better at, a number of different things. How do you go about, do you have a point of emphasis or two this week at one practice and then a different one, another? How do you go about, going down a checklist of multitude items to get better at and not throw too much at them at one time?
Well, usually more on the non-game days. So yesterday would have been a day of learning and teaching maybe probably we had the last one before that was about 6 days before, where we really looked deep at some things that we're doing. And game days, we like to leave the minds free, concentrate on what we need to do, introduce the opposition in different aspects. But it's more on the non-game days. And as an example, on a trip like this to California, where we're going to be packing bags and moving around in 3 games in 4 days, we'll keep it simple and trust their instincts as they grow and develop. And it's very important to manage the energy in the National Hockey League season with the pace that we're on, and we're trying to do our best at that as coaches.
It seems you're kind of leaning toward experience and older players later in games in those two spots, whether it's Victor Olofsson off of a line late in the third periods, or Rasmus Dahlin on Friday was a big story after the game. A lot of people asking, wondering about Dahlin being kind of on the bench for 8 minutes plus in that third period.
Oh, there's absolutely nothing against those players in those situations. It's a compliment to other players we have and to the depth of the team. We've got different roles within our lineup, you know, players that are going to carry the penalty kill, are going to work at closing games out for us. And if we need goals, others will carry the ball. And that's what a team is made of, is different strengths and different roles and different characters. And, you know, the focus on what isn't often leaves out the conversation of what is. And what is we have a very strong, you know, we have a lot of depth in our lineup, and we have a lot of players that are specialized in different skill sets. You know, as much as goal scoring is a skill set, killing penalties, blocking shots, finishing hits, those are important skill sets in a good team. And, you know, I think it's also an education of our fan base and of the public to understand that will change the ice time depending on the score. And, you know, Rasmus is learning and growing every day. He's a very coachable player. We love what he's doing on and off the ice. And there's nothing but excitement about his future here.
Ralph, I'd be interested to hear your feeling on, you know, as you mentioned, shot blocking. Shot blocking is one thing that I think in the last however many years in the NHL, people have kind of given a thumbs up and also a thumbs down. If you're blocking shots, it's good to block a shot. But if you're blocking a lot of shots, it means you're on the ice when the other team has the puck and is shooting it. So with regard to that, like the give and take of what that actually means, the ability to block a shot is important. But late in a game, would you not want your defense to not be blocking so many because you'd be carrying play in the other end?
Well, there's no question that once the goalie's out of the other team, you're killing a penalty because you're playing 5-on-6 as an example. And there it's really important to be able to understand the patience that's needed. And for instance, in the last game, we just tried too hard. The guys battled like crazy, and it was a little bit chaotic, and there was a couple of broken plays and broken sticks and so on. But you need to stay in the lanes whenever you're killing penalties or you're shorthanded. It's really important to have that courage and, you know, especially up high, getting into the lanes, you know, everything coming from up high nowadays, it has a danger to it. It creates second chances in front of the net. It creates chaos that we're trying to avoid in our end. But, you know, I think all through the league, that's definitely a skill set where we do attack more in our end than some teams will sag right down back and rely completely on the shot blocking, whereas we do expand and attack when we can. But it's you know, it depends on the situation, really.
Sure. Yeah, I've noticed much of the attacking on the kill this year as compared to previous years for the Sabres. With regard to Rasmus Dahlin, you know, last year, his rookie year, he impresses a lot of people. This year, year two, I think maybe myself included, we kind of expect him to just take off. When it comes to player development with him, are you very much keenly aware of the idea that he is so young that you're still building a lot of what it is that he's going to become?
Well, if you look at Rasmus Dahlin at 19 and Henry Jokiharu at 20, and the potential within both of those is so exciting. And with Rasmus, it's you know, players of that skill set are playing with the puck all the time when they're young, because they don't give it, you know, they're so strong and so powerful. And it's learning the complete game is what's happened to every great defenseman in the National Hockey League. And as they mature And again, I can only say that, you know, we are so thrilled with the foundation of what he is and who he is as a person. And it takes time. It's easier to come into the league as a high-end, offensively skilled forward because the responsibility without the puck isn't as large as it is when you play defense, and especially in a league that plays with six defensemen all the time. You know, very rarely the teams, Tampa plays with seven, once in a while play with seven, and so you, defensemen need to be all-encompassing. They need to play with the puck, without the puck, and it's, again, something that we just need to be patient before a player with that skill set is complete. It just takes time, and again, everything is on the right track for sure.
What with Rasmus, and I guess with Jokiharju as well, Ralph, when you have that type of young player with those offensive skills, what do you tell, what's the message you give them? How's that? How do you balance the line between, I want you to be creative, I want you to be aggressive, but you don't necessarily want to go one-on-three into the neutral zone, turn the puck over, you want to be smart too. How do you get that message across to those young guys? You don't want to stifle their creativity, but, you know, they got to be smart too.
Well, those are just team rules. That doesn't apply to one player. That applies to our most experienced player or our youngest player. And we just have a lot of team concepts and principles that we're trying to turn into habits. And it's going to take time. We're working hard at it, and the players, are really, really all in here. And we're having pleasure working with the group. But whether it's Rasmus or whether it's Sobotka, it doesn't matter. Everybody's trying to get in line with what gives us a chance to be the best team we can be on a daily basis, and what gives us a chance to win every night. And being responsible with the puck is definitely one of the, you know, the puck management is one of the most important things in a league where every team has so many lethal players. You need to understand where the risks are worth taking and where not.
One last thing I want to ask you, Ralph, about Casey Mittelstadt. Got a nice shootout goal the other day. What are you seeing from him so far? Again, I know it's really early, but, you know, you've talked about the stress on centers in your system with your principals. He's, you know, still going through that growth process in the NHL. What's your evaluation that you're seeing so far from Casey?
Well, Casey is also a player who's, you know, evolving his game, and we have a fundamental skill set in him that's unique, and it's really exciting. He's got so much potential, and again, an excellent character, very hardworking, and just developing every day. Every day there's something new and something good going on with Casey Mittelstadt, and the coaches are all doing their bit to help him to develop and to help him to grow, and he's somebody we can be really excited about. You know, the way he hadn't played for a while in the last game and stepped into the overtime and created more chances actually than anybody else, and then quite coolly sunk the third penalty shot goal for the win is just a sign of the top end of Casey. And just like a player that we've just spoken about, like Rasmus, there's a game away from the puck, there's a pressure coming from the top lines of the other team that pushes you back into your own end that you have to learn to deal with and have to learn to manage. And it's that side of the puck that's why we have coaches, that why we have jobs, I guess. The skill in the offense is more difficult to teach than the game away from the puck. So we're so pleased that he has that foundation, and what an exciting future he has.
Well, thanks again for the time, Ralph. Appreciate you coming on a little bit earlier this week with the trip coming up. Good luck out west, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Coach Kroger's appearance on WGR brought to you by Paul William Belts, your power of attorney, by Fallsview Casino Resort, Niagara Falls, Canada, and by AXA Advisors. Take the next step for your financial future today. 10 o'clock face-off, a late one. I'm going to try really hard to make it there. Getting up this early, it can be... It can be tough, but hey, we're all in it together. And the Sabres are good, and they're fun, and they're scoring a lot, too, so that'll help. 803-0550 to join us. Jeremy White, go ahead, Sal.
And now I'm asking about the schedule coming up, the teams they're playing, too. And they can get some wins here.
They can beat all three of these teams.
I mean, these are not world-beating teams. And, you know, the way that some of these teams have started, you can find your way to victory here. And if they come out of this, if they lose a game, they come out with two out of three. Okay. Let's go.
If they have a stretch of 10-0-1, just get ready. They can't miss.
I know.
Part two.
I know, and people, my wife even said it to me yesterday. She's like, well, what happened last year? I mean, I know, like, you don't want to do that. So the difference is, though, I think that when they were doing that last year, we kind of noticed that there were a lot of fluky things. Mm-hmm. I don't get that sense. I think that they've had some breaks this year.
They played some bad teams. It's kind of like the Bills. They played some bad teams, but there's reason to think that they're better than they were last year.
But they look better. They just the eye test. I think they look better this year.
Well, there's the eye test, and then there's some underlying numbers. We'll get to some of those when we get back. What are the Sabres doing well? What do they need to do better? And what is almost exactly the same as last year? I'll tell you that when we get back on WGR.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Obviously, he's a good young player, and he's only played a short amount of time. We know he has good short space quickness. He's a guy that can hand the ball and hand it inside and run the same type of runs with Frank. He can run it outside. I think anytime you're without a player that you think can help your football team, other guys need to step up. They did, and we'll see where he is this week.
Bills offensive coordinator Brian Daboll on the team's prep for Sunday's game against the Miami Dolphins. Want to get into just what they've got to do to impress you on Sunday. But before that, teased going to the break, the Sabres. So what are they doing better? What are they doing the same? Their underlying numbers are better in terms of holding a shot share. That's good. Their save percentage is a little bit above where it probably will end. So that's okay. But one thing that Sean Tierney does, Charting Hockey, on Twitter, and I like Sean's work an awful lot, just basically shows you what kind of team you have. It's not really predictive. It's not trying to do that so much as show you this is what has happened. And one place the Sabres are exactly where they were last year is dull in pace of play. The number of shots that they get and the number of shots against, they play low event hockey, which they did under Phil Housley. But that doesn't have to be bad. It doesn't mean that your dull is bad. Dull is not the same quadrant on his charts as bad. Dull is just dull. He has good, bad, dull, and fun. Those are the four areas. You can be bad and dull, good and dull. You can be fun and be bad. So it's just about how many events happen in your game, and it means you're playing a relatively safe, cautious style to make up for whatever you for whatever reason you think, because you want to shore things up defensively, because you want to make sure that you are playing responsibly. You know, there's any number of reasons a coach might want to do it, to hide talent, to bring out the most in whatever that talent is. But just like last year's team, they play relatively low event hockey with better results. Much better, of course.
I just liked, it seemed like they were more aggressive. They may not be. Like, again, it's maybe the efficiency that comes into play when you see that. But when I went Monday, it just looked like they were more in control. You know what? That's the thing I've noticed the most about this team, Jeremy, watching them, going to the game. They just seem calmer. They're more control when they need to be. It doesn't seem like they're panicking. They have moments. They have moments where you're like, they start to scramble, but it seems like they recover pretty quickly, but they seem like they're in control of the situation.
It looks like they're coached.
Yes, exactly right. It's exactly right.
All right, 803-0550, 1-888-552-550. We'll have a little fun. We've got Eric Wood coming up at about 9:15. Before that, what the Bills have to do Sunday to impress you, if there's any sort of bar you're going to put up there. 803-0550 to join us on WGR.
Oh, that's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.